Hello, and welcome to another Shakespeare & Company podcast with me, Adam Biles. We've got something really special for you today. A couple of weeks ago, I was joined in the reading library by two dear friends of the bookshop, poets Kartika Nair and Marilyn Hacker. As a means not only to get through confinement, but also to meet it face on, Marilyn and Kartika began writing Renga, a collaborative form of Japanese poetry, to each other, building up a beautiful and compelling body of work that engages with both the micro and the macro of this unprecedented moment. This meeting was the first time that these close friends had been in the same room as each other for several months, and their readings ring with the sorrow of separation, but also the joy of rediscovery. I think you'll agree that the result is quite beautiful. For regular listeners to this podcast, as well as admirers of poetry everywhere, Kartika and Marilyn will need little introduction. But, nevertheless, you can find full biographies from both of them in the show notes. You can also find their books in our shop and online store, including Kartika's Until the Lions, recently published in a beautiful US edition by Archipelago Books, and Marilyn's extraordinary Blazons, New and Selected Poems, 2000 to 2018. While you're on our site, www.shakespeareandcompany.com, why not browse our book boxes and gifts, which we ship from Paris to wherever you are in the world. One final thing before I hand you over to our poets. The music you'll hear during the recording was drifting in from our piano room. We considered asking the unknown musician to pause while we recorded, but they were so skilled and the atmosphere they created by their playing was so magical that we decided to put our trust in the mixing desk of synchronicity. It didn't disappoint. I'd like to thank that musician, whoever they might have been. I'll be back at the end, but now sit back, close your eyes and drink in the poetry of Kartika Nair and Marilyn Hacker.
Kartika and I were sending emails back and forth to and from each other, from the 3e arrondissement to the 10e arrondissement, which normally is a leisurely 40-minute walk, and suddenly began to seem as if, like every place else, we were in two different countries. I suggested in one of those emails, what do you think about writing a Renga sequence? And Renga being a form of Japanese syllabic poetry that is usually done in group or in concert, where one person writes one section. It's usually a three-line, two-line with a syllable count, and then the second person picks up a word or an idea in the last line of the poem that her or his partners sent to them, and writes one that starts with that. Usually, this was done in a rather party atmosphere, with all the people involved being in the same room and passing papers around or scrolls around to each other, going around the room. In this case, it was going to have to be done at a distance, and email was going to take the place of papers. It seemed like an appropriate idea for the situation, and something that we might both enjoy doing. And Kartika said yes. I'd only add that there are length variations, both traditionally in the Japanese Renga and in ours, where instead of it being 10 lines, there's an extra 5 lines, an extra 3 and 2 added, which would explain that why some of these might sound a bit longer than most of them.
So yes, there are always multiples of 5 lines,
yes,
with syllabic counts of 5, 7, 5, mm-hmm. 7, 7. Mm-hmm. And we varied between 10 lines and 15 lines, yes, generally. And it started on the 29th of March.
It started on the 29th of March and has been going on until, well, it's my turn to do the next one, and Kartika sent me hers. I forget whether it was this morning or last
yesterday.
Night.
Yesterday, yes. Well, shortly after midnight, so I think it qualifies as today.
March 29th, crocus, primroses, in lockdown, squat Leopoldashil, the plague spring. Rana sent me a photo of police on Hamra Street enforcing curfew. The boy I watched on the roof of the refugee squat was locked down already, daily, among washing lines.
March 30th. Daily lines burgeon on Louis Blanc pavements, each sprout 5 feet from the next. Human unblossoms outside baker, butcher, grocer's doors. One out for one in, gloved, masked, sanitized, before and after each yield. The pigeons strutting the same sidewalks heed no distancing.
March 30th. Distance between us, she wrote long ago, and then made it permanent. Charpentier vêpre à la Vierge, while I'm doing the dishes, on the comforting old squat black CD player. For a moment, there's connection, if only with that perplexed self, desiring.
March 31st. That desire for self to be more, more than terra firma for virus settlements, begets new creeds. Parisians grunt and wheeze praise to Lord Jogging, while roaming, forlorn as our streets. Romans hymn and drum volare from balconies. Jack Bernard downs, yes, thousand minutes of bones. Libation for eyes and wit to fair Agent Booth. The right mantra for Loklak spurs my quest across the net.
April 1st. Across the street, a girl stands lengthily at the window, smoking and looking at empty sidewalks, sun-soaked on April 1st. I wished the tourists would disappear. Now they're gone. Watch what you wish for. In Purda, in quarantine, I dice one more aubergine.
April 3rd. Aubergine, one small, braised, buttered, basil and beef fried in any form. The thought invades aurous noons, leaves sharp pug marks on my dreams these still wintry nights. Preschoolers play COVID age tag in our courtyard, not more than two at a time, and catch with an outflung glove.
April 3rd. We drove out to the place they called Carantina, where crews of ships from Europe once waited 40 days to be declared plague-free. Desolate still, but in a lonely high-rise in a vast gallery, the 90-year-old painter's new gouaches, texts, tapestries. Afterwards, a huge Armenian lunch in Burj Hamoud with my two young friends, nobody knowing quarantine was just starting.
April 4th. Bedlam just started here. N writes from New Delhi's migrant worker camps. How will they lock down millions who have neither doors nor roof? millions who must walk many moons to reach a home to self-isolate. Prime Minister Modi bids his nation to light candles. President Macron, meanwhile, warned us off face masks unless really ill. Spring, the dearth in my two lands of roses for all the graves.
Rose garden hidden in the square du Grand Veneur, it's starting to bud, but the gates are locked. Only kids from the logements sociaux in the enclosure peer through the grates in strange, bright April sunlight. Here's a petition against euthanizing the sick old.
April 6th. Sick and old. For Laure and Serge, teens from Block D, I now tick both boxes. L, 4-inch heels keen across cobblestones, rushes to hold open all our doors. Their mum, though, no longer hails me with nod and smile. Chemo-shorn, browless beings in masks could spell one more germ.
April 6th. One more spell, one more incantation. It's only the art of the fugue, or Hildegard of Bingen, or Alice Coltrane. Music calms anxiety. Abida Parveen sings a Hafiz Ghazal, cross-legged, eloquent hands. I pick out a word or two.
April 9th. Two words now, for me. Hamde Kenge. We shall see. Iqbal Bano soars skyward on Fez's refrain. And something, steelier than hope, lights the heart once again. Heart that fluttered last evening, stalled a few instants. A frog in the throat these days hearkens to beasts less winsome.
April 10th. Ego, clawing beast, with or without our selfhood, beasts try to survive. As does each isolate I, newly dispensable or in the equation. Lock up these, those forever, then open the doors. I open late windows on unnatural bright April.
April 13th, bright as this April. Isa, flushed after cycling from Pantin, risking dour fines we none can afford, brings me dorayaki, homemade, with sweet red beans crushed and flour ground by Nico, who'd foraged for weeks. Balm for my bile-deluged gut, swaddling for sleep-deprived dreams. Wajdi Muad writes to his infant unknowing son, quoi dire de plus urgent que l'amour? Sometimes pancakes will do just as well.
April 14th. Pancakes, not huître, phone calls, texts, instead of wine-flavored exchanges in the public privacy of a cafe. Sautéed snow peas, shallots, chicken, wine anyway, but for one, yesterday's bread, a departing moon above roof dormers, now my horizon.
April 15th, my horizon each week, the poppy-printed teal hair cap of Nurse Rose, hand-stitched the florets for cheer, as she disinfects, secures in the martial cant so dear to our president, my porte-a-cat sight. She of calm hands and raptor gaze snags any truant wane. That's all of the first section, and now we move down 2 months, I think.
Yes. June 5th. Borders were porous with the right passports or a titre de séjour. Danes can go to Norway now, but Swedes can't. When Suad got her French passport, we drank champagne. She can't see her sister in Stockholm. She's job hunting in Toulouse, going masked to interviews.
June 8th. Unmasked interview on Crowdcast. Isle of brief joy, its sole borders, those carved by broadband access, land with no COVID contagion. When Mila and I speak at the US launch of her book, When I Hit You, speak of worse fiction, caste killings, murderous husbands, and more, speak across Boston, London, and Paris with gracious Shuchi, host from Brookline Booksmith, to readers unseen round the world.
June 10th. From around the world, Lebanese expats are flown back to Al-Watan, Moscow, Rio, Montreal, Paris, bringing the virus to their homecomings. In the Beirut or the Beka, numbers leap. Katya wrote to me a month ago, "Our epidemic's over." I know she follows the news. Cafes reopened anyway, and creches. As for the money changers, were their counters ever closed?
June 12th. Close encounters, let's call them, of the fifth or sixth kind. In Bareilly, returnee migrants get soused with liquid bleach. Yes, the kind bottled with danger to eyes and skin. As cure by the state, no less. While Delhi shuts hospital doors on its non-residents.
June 13th. Resident of a city, body, state of mind, I shrug off under shadows and sun on the Quai Saint-Bernard. A yoga class salutes the river. A portly couple tangos to their own cassette. I walk without a mask as far as the Jardin des Plantes.
June 15th. Assemblage, as far as the eye can feed. Litchi, melon, mint, mango, mocha, peach. Got the soft bay and ice. Glimmer and curtsy, preen, swirl in their trays to caduce with me. Isa and Nico, plotters of my first soft tea outside home in hospital. Lambent this dusk, like our blithe reunion at Bertillon, Île Saint-Louis, still Mecca for bon vivant, each palate worshipful in queue.
June 21st. In a queue for bread outside the bakery on the boulevard, it's almost normal. An almost normal Sunday market with hand sanitizer dispensers at entrance points. Almost no distrust of the masked person next in line for cherries, shrimp, courgette, hummus, samosas. Which merchants have disappeared? Which shoppers I knew vaguely by sight won't I see again? It's chilly for June.
June 27th. June now is the month of solstitial night, roses, and two presidents convinced at the grandeur of their nations, flanking from north and south the Atlantic, resides in the statues of dead, all too fallible men, to be safeguarded far more than the breath of today's denizens, convinced naming evils of the past would be a crime. Mine christened it separatism. How frail must they find our lands?
June 29th. old, frail. Nonetheless, I walked home from Montparnasse, invulnerable for the moment, pink kawé against the drizzle. Almost midnight streets full of mostly local, mostly young drinkers and flâneurs, as if nothing had happened. I kept my mask on, except on the Pont Sully, where there was no one, only reverberations of music on the quays. Next Decameron, next clusters.
July 4th. Clusters of color. Rain of estival blossoms caper on Philippe's third floor balcony. They join us and a madcap even breeze to celebrate this, my first visit in many months. First touch of drink, organic, outside home and hospital since early March.
This has been the Shakespeare & Company podcast with Kartika Nair, Marilyn Hacker and me, Adam Biles. If you'd like to see a video of some of these readings, keep an eye on the social media of the Bengaluru Poetry Festival, who'll be publishing one in the coming days. We'll be back soon with another podcast, but until then, I'd like to thank Kartika and Marilyn for their reading, Alex Fryman for the intro and outro music available on his brilliant album Play It Gentle, and of course, all of you for listening. The music is a very nice background to this, by the way. I think it's sort of, there's something really synchronicitous about the way
it's very soothing as well.
Yeah. And you're lucky because not all of the people who come and play are as gifted as this person,
yeah,
clearly.
Oh, well, I mean, if it were, other things,
is it just...
No idea. It's
okay.
Just people who come in and play. We replaced the piano about a year ago because the last one was just impossible to tune. Someone would come and tune it, and then 30 seconds later it would be...
I came in a year ago with one of our composers, and he gave up in dismay.
Oh, yeah, there you go. bring him back next time.